You'll take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. This morning we'll be looking at verses 36, 37, and 38, the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Throughout Advent and the Christmas season, we have been looking at these first two chapters in the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 2, we have the account of the birth of Christ, and then we heard about the angels coming to the shepherds. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then the shepherds traveled to see this thing that had happened. They went and saw Mary and Joseph, the baby Jesus. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, and when they saw it, they had made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And then some 40-plus days later, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple, where they meet a man named Simeon. Verse 25, "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." He took the child up in his arms, verse 28, blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also." And then we come to our text, verse 36. "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." Let us pray. Father, once again, we turn to you in prayer and ask for your grace, for your mercy, for your peace. As we hear your word, as we read and hear, as we ponder the things that are said about Anna, but more importantly, what is said and what we learn here about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Her name is Anna. In Greek and in Hebrew, it is Hannah. And that reminds us of another Hannah in the Old Testament, the mother of Samuel, a woman who was waiting for God to send a redeemer into the world. The name Hannah means grace, and what a wonderful name that is, and one that no doubt sustained this woman through many very difficult years. Anna is someone's daughter, Phanuel. We know absolutely nothing about him. Anna was someone's wife. We don't know her husband's name, but we are told that they had married and had lived together for 7 years, and Anna is now a widow. Her husband is dead, and she has spent most of her life without him. Anna is now very old. All of the English translations that I saw give the total age for Anna at 84. This matches up with what we read earlier in Psalm 90, verse 10. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble, and they are soon gone, and we fly away. But what Luke writes in his gospel is a bit ambiguous. It could be that what Luke is saying is that she was a widow for 84 years. And even the English Standard Version gives a footnote noting that the possibility of that translation. It was common, we know, for young ladies to get married about the age of 14. And we know about Anna that she was married and lived with her husband for 7 years. And it's possible that she then became a widow for 84 years. And so if my math is correct, Anna is 105, which is not stretching possibilities here. Both the Southern Baptist Greek scholar A.T. Robertson and the Lutheran Lenski take this view, and the language that Luke uses here is a bit emphatic. She is very old. She is far advanced in years. And so they see what Luke is saying is that she is 105. 84 or 105 up there. Anna is of the tribe of Asher. Asher is one of the 10 northern tribes defeated and scattered by the Assyrians in 722 BC. Unlike Judah in the south, these tribes, for the most part, never returned to the promised land, but some did. There was a reformation and revival under King Hezekiah, and it's quite possible that some of Anna's family members returned to Jerusalem at that time. Anna is also a prophetess. That is, God speaks to her, and she speaks for God. She speaks on behalf of God. It is commonly said that there were 400 silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between the prophet Malachi and the appearance of John the Baptist in the wilderness. Malachi closes the Old Testament by saying, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers." And yet we see that God was not completely silent. We learn that God had been speaking to at least Anna, and that Anna was speaking about God to the people around her. She appears some 30 years before John the Baptist appears in the wilderness in the spirit of Elijah. Anna is only mentioned in these three verses in the Bible. But she is in the Bible. And so we need to listen to what Anna says. What does Anna have to say to us today, especially as we step into a new year? Regardless of who we are, where we are in life, a child, a young person, a young couple, single, married, old, far advanced in years, what can this widow teach us about our life in Christ? Four thoughts this morning, two of them taken from William Barclay and two that I came up all on my own. But four thoughts about Anna. First of all, Anna knew sorrow, but did not grow bitter. Anna knew sorrow, but did not grow bitter. Anna is someone who no doubt knew all of the joy and energy of youth. A young girl playing with dolls and dreaming about the future, what her life would be like, falling in love, getting married, having children, a home of her own. And she experienced that joy. She met a man and they married and they lived together for 7 years. But then something terrible happened. We don't know what it was, but she became a widow. Her husband died. Perhaps it was cancer, some other disease, an accident at work or at home. Perhaps there had been a war. Perhaps there was an uprising against Rome, and he had gotten caught up in that and had to fight and did not return home. Things like these should not happen to young people, young couples. Whatever it was, he's gone and she is a widow and she's probably 21 and never to marry again. In the language of Psalm 90, our days may come to 70 or 80, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. Anna knew sorrow. William Barclay said, sorrow can do one of two things to us. It can make us hard, bitter, resentful, rebellious against God, or it can make us kinder, softer, and more sympathetic. Many of you know sorrow. The loss of a child, the loss of a husband, the loss of a parent, or the loss of a dream, an ambition, health. Sorrow can do one of two things to us. It can make us hard, bitter, resentful, rebellious against God, or it can make us kinder, softer, more sympathetic. What are you allowing your sorrow to do to you? Secondly, Anna grew old, but she did not lose hope. Anna grew old, but she did not lose hope. Whether she is 105 or 84, she's closer to the end than she is to the beginning. But she numbers her days with a heart of godly wisdom and has not lost hope. She's obviously made a conscious choice not to dwell on the things that have gone wrong in her life. The memories are still there. It's not that her memory has been erased. She has not become less human. She has not forgotten the pain that's in her past, the loss of her husband, the emptiness in her heart, the dreams that have just evaporated into thin air, the years of pain and loneliness. But she's chosen to look forward in hope. And she says so. Verse 38, coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting, longing for that redemption to come to God's people. She shares the same hope that Simeon had. Chapter 2, verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. She shared the same hope that Zechariah had. Back in chapter 1, verse 70, 7, that this child would come to give the knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, that whereby the sunrise will visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Have you allowed the passing years to rob you of your hope? Have you stopped looking forward? Are you only reflecting back and perhaps with regret over things that happened in your life? Or are you looking forward? We heard this from Lamentations 3, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in the Lord. As we grow older, and we find more and more that less and less gets done, we can be filled with regret, or we can be filled with hope. We can continue to look forward and to see that God is not limited by our frailty. Great is his faithfulness. Thirdly, Anna was left behind, but she's not alone. Anna was left behind, but she was not alone. In one very real sense, and we should not minimize this, she is all alone in the world. Her husband's dead. Were there any children? If they had had children, where are they? Had they died in infancy? Had they died with her husband in some tragic accident? Had they grown up and rebelled and left the faith behind and gone off into the far country? Had there been no children? 7 years of marriage with empty arms, no baby to hold, no child to love and to nourish. Friends, neighbors, relatives, often the circle can grow smaller and smaller as we grow older. And yet, in another very real sense, and we should not minimize this, she's not alone. Verse 37, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. There's the people of God. Her church family, brothers and sisters in the faith. She must have had fellowship with Simeon. You know, everybody thinks Simeon's an old man. It never says that he's an old man, but he gets associated with Anna. And Simeon does talk about, now I can die, but we're never really told how old he is. But he was there in the temple, and no doubt Anna would have encouraging fellowship with this man as she would encounter him there. There would be young couples who would come in to worship God, like Mary and Joseph, and they would bring their children, as Mary and Joseph are doing. There would be singles who needed advice, young mothers who needed to talk to someone with some experience. Little children would be there. Later we will hear the 12-year-old Jesus there in the temple. Anna had a church family. But most of all, and we should never minimize this, that Anna had God himself. God's people, but also God himself. Anna is not going about from house to house as a busybody or a gossip. She chooses to be in God's house to encourage God's people. In the language of Psalm 90, Lord, you have been my dwelling place throughout all generations. As we grow older, our circle of friends and family may grow smaller. Death takes some. Divorce takes others. Distance keeps us from seeing the people that we would like to see. With Anna, find comfort with God's people and with God himself. And then fourth and finally, Anna has used up all her strength, but she has not become useless. Anna has used up all her strength, but she has not become useless. Isn't this what bothers many of us? As we move from one year to another and we begin to feel our age, we grow older, there's that sense of we're becoming less useful. We have less to offer. We have less energy to do the things that we used to do, and we can become discouraged. I have nothing to offer. No doubt Anna's best years were behind her, but she's not useless. Not useless to God, not to her church, and not to those who are around her. Anna finds great joy in her prophetic role. Remember, she is a prophetess. She knows nothing of retirement from this office of prophetess. And so here she is, standing before God's people and delivering God's word when she sees them. Here comes a young couple, Mary and Joseph. They're bringing and presenting their first child to the Lord. And I doubt that this is the first time that Anna went up and began to thank God and to bless the child and to speak about the gospel of Christ. How many young couples had she encouraged as they brought their children into a worship service? And every Sabbath day, families come, singles come, young, old alike. Some of these people she knows, and some they're just visitors. She's never seen them before, and she'll never see them again. And yet she's there to give a smile and a hug, to welcome them and to speak a brief word, to point them to God's promises in Christ. Anna is far spent in terms of physical strength and health, but she's far from useless. And every night lays down to go to sleep, she can pray Psalm 90. Lord, you have been my dwelling place throughout all generations. Establish now the work of my hands. But Anna also finds great joy in her priestly role. Not only does she stand before people representing God, but she stands before God to represent and to speak on behalf of God's people. Here she is day and night in fastings and prayers. Every day before the throne of grace, praying for others. And again, many of them she doesn't know. She doesn't know their names. She can't remember their names. She's too embarrassed to ask again, "What was your name?" She sees them, they come, they go. Some are only visiting, she'll never see them again, and yet she can lift them up in prayer. She doesn't just think about them and wonder who they are, she prays for them. You know, God bless this young couple that I see coming into the church, and they've brought their child. They want to present their child to the Lord. They want their child to be here. Help this young couple to know that we want them here. They are welcome here. Their child may squirm. Their child may make noise. But God, help this young couple to realize that we want them to be here with us. Or she says, bless that widow. Bless that widower. Sustain them in their sorrows. I know exactly what it's like, what they're feeling, what they're going through. Encourage that young lady over there who's suffering. She's experienced some disappointment. Her heart has been broken. And Anna can think, I know what that feels like. And so, Lord, help that young lady or that young man who just looks lost and it looks like he's on his way to the far country. And so she prays for these people. Young or old this morning, are you using your time wisely in this priestly ministry of praying for the people around you? The people that you see, when you come in here on a Sunday, are you praying for your church family? Often as we grow older, we have more time to pray. And hopefully we have gained some wisdom so that we know how better to pray. 1 year has now passed into another. Anna is old. No doubt she's tired. She has known trouble. She has known sorrow. She's lost so much and her heart has been broken. But she's not grown bitter. She's not without hope. She's not alone and she is not useless. And that is what Anna has to say to us this morning. Give thanks for all of the good that God is doing today, and speak of the hope and the glory of Jesus Christ to those that you meet. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would just take this very simple story about this one woman. Enable us to hear what she says. Enable us to hear and to learn from her life. A long life, but a brief account. We thank you for containing, for placing this little story in our Bible so that we could read and be encouraged. And we pray that you would use this word to sanctify us and to encourage us and to move us along to good works. Enable us to live lives that are reflecting the hope that is within us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.